The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
1.7 billion were there for his birth. 220 countries tuned in for his first step.
Woohoo!
The world stood still for that stolen kiss. And as he grew, so did the technology. Broadcast live and unedited to an audience around the globe.
Cool, man.
Coming to you now, enclosed in the largest studio ever constructed, and along with the Great Wall of China, one of only two man-made structures visible from space. Now, it's...
I'm Speaking Plainly with Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville, and welcome back to I'm Speaking Plenty. I'm your host, Bill Hay, and joining me in the studio is my producer, Joni, who has a couple of folks have asked about Holly. Holly is working her fingers to the bone 6 days a week for her company. She got a new promotion, and she's doing doing a great job over there, yeah. So her time, she's even working on Saturdays some, and so she has to have some time away. So she took some time away, and... I think she's enjoying the new position very well. We miss her here, but we want her to go as far as she possibly can with her company. And she's in a good company that does a great service for police and law enforcement around the country.
Excellent.
So, that being said, you can call us here, 222-TALK, 222-8255, if you'd like to weigh in on any of the topics. The first person you will hear is Dr. A.J. Davis over there in the master control booth.
You mean I have to do that, too?
You have to do that, too. Multitasking.
Okay. Glad to do it.
I want to take an opportunity to read something that was sent to me, and it's a verified copy, apparently, of someone's letter of resignation that was issued on the 28th of February. And it says, this is written to Dick's Sporting Goods. It was from a gentleman, Griffin Muller. And he said, I am putting in my 2 weeks' notice. I greatly apologize, as my job has been one of the best I've ever had. The staff has been phenomenal, very easy to work with. The management is full of great people, and the pay is also good. I do not have one bad thing to say about this store. However, I cannot be the face of these new gun policies, which are in effect. I find them morally and constitutionally wrong, and I refuse to be a part of a corporation with these liberal policies. Again, I truly apologize for any inconvenience. Sincerely, the 20-year-old employee that is an avid hunter who can no longer purchase firearms from a store in which he is a salesman at the gun counter. And you know, what a well-written letter from a very responsible young man. And I can understand that there are probably people in Dick's Sporting Goods stores across the country that are young, avid hunters who may have children who are 18, 19, 20 years old, very responsible young people, that now, because of Dick's policies, can no longer purchase rifles or assault weapons from the stores that they've grown accustomed to going in and buying it. This is a knee-jerk reaction. When someone gets a DUI and kills someone, which happens every single night of the week, and especially on holidays and weekends, we do not put into effect things which cause the banning of cars or the raising of driver's license limits. I said this last week on the show, and Nick reminded me of it this week. In 2017 alone, 69,624 kids were legally murdered in the state of Florida. Listen to my words. Legally murdered in the state of Florida. And it was a premeditation murder. Pre-thought out, preconceived, pre-contrived murder of 69,624 kids. And I have had people say over and over and over again, Bill, how did they die? In car accidents? That's not murder, that's an accident. Bill, how did they die? Was it something that we didn't hear about on the news? You know, was it medical malpractice? No. It's the one thing that everybody seems to have just no conscience about, and that is the taking of an unborn child in the womb under the process of abortion. And when I even asked Joni about it, she's like, no, I'm not going to take a stand, especially not going to take a stand on air. I'm not one of those guys that stands out on the street corner and holds a sign on University Boulevard. You're not going to find me picketing at your local women's health clinic. But you need to be reasonable with the way that you think. Otherwise, you're going to be hypocritical in the way that you act. If you believe that it's a woman's body and it's a woman's right and it's a woman's choice, then it's a hunter's gun, it's a hunter's right, and it's a hunter's choice to purchase an AR-15, and that's the way it goes.
Absolutely.
That's my rant for the day.
Well, I just did a little math. And if you divide 69,000 by 450, which is the average number of seats on a 747,
mm-hmm.
if we had 153 747s crash
last year,
2017,
right.
there would be a terrible hue and cry.
Yeah, and there'd be a banning of 747s, and the FAA and the OSHA and everyone else would be NTSB would be taking apart, wanting to know what's wrong with them. So maybe we need to take some people's heads apart here in the state of Florida to determine what they're thinking when they believe that banning this gun is going to keep another deranged kid from breaking into your house and stealing that gun. I mean, if somebody wants to kill you, they'll kill you with a ball peen hammer. If they really want to kill you, they'll find you on the street and they'll run you down. I mean, recently in Europe, what has been the weapon of choice for mass murder? It's been a white cargo van.
Vehicles, right?
Yeah. They figured out that guns aren't going to work because they're stopping those at every airport. They figured out that bombs aren't going to work because most of the time it's the suicide bomber that gets turned into cat food right off the bat. So what do? They drive across London Bridge with a white rental van and they plow down 43 people. You know, it's not the gun. It's the moral attitude of the folks that are out there.
The behavior of one deranged individual, we're now going to ban all white cargo vans.
It's not going to happen, though. They won't even talk about it.
We're never going to ban evil.
No, exactly. You're not going to ban evil. Let's go to Dee on the phone real quick. Dee, welcome to the show.
Hi, Bill. I want to comment real quick about the what you were just saying about the abortion. Also about a movie, but what's the difference, and there is no difference, when a woman who is carrying a child in pregnancy and she miscarries or some tragedy, she loses this baby and they say that the child was murdered versus an abortion. It's still the loss of life with this child. So I totally agree with you on that.
Well, thank you,
Dee. The movie Darkest Hour, about the life of Winston Churchill at a strategic moment in the UK's history when they chose him. They chose him because he had backbone.
Right.
He came against a lot of flack from a lot of people. But
it's really kind of funny, Dee. They really didn't like him. Political folks in power didn't like Winston Churchill. They thought he was a drunken old fool.
They did. That's correct. But in one of the scenes that really touched me in the movie was when he went down to the common people.
Yeah, he was on a subway. Yeah, on the underground.
Yes. And they let him know that they never wanted to give up their freedom, their independence as a nation.
Right. And we can talk about,
you know, we've got to do that ourselves here in the United States. We've got to stand up for what is right,
We did back in November of 2017 when Donald Trump carried an election that a half a dozen different media people. There's nothing.
Nobody thought he could win.
Nothing I enjoyed. Dee, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Nothing makes me more happy than to see the folks that. The collage of the reporters and it was funny to see Gayle King saying, you know, you're never going to be president. And the one that I really get a kick out of is Obama during one of the debates said, look, I can tell you this. You know, you can say I've never done a lot of things. You can say I've never been to college. You can say I never had a birth certificate. But one thing I will always be able to say is I was president and you weren't. And, boy, he had to eat that plate of crow. That was a big, huge buffet, White House-style platter of crow that Obama had to eat for that one. Anyway, 222 Talk.
Golden Corral.
Golden Corral. Endless serving of crow for you, Mr. Obama. 222 Talk, 222-8255. If you'd like to reach us here, you can. AJ is working the phones rapidly. Daryl Daniels coming up in this next segment. He's a sheriff from Clay County. Mike, we're going to get to you, but I'll tell you, if a Sheriff Daniels calls We're going to take him first, and I really want to hear from you tonight, Mike. So if you're on hold for a long time, just try to call back when you can. This is I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Join us, won't you?
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville, and welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. We're waiting patiently for Sheriff Daryl Daniels to give us a call, and until said time, we'll go to Brian on the phone from Ponte Vedra. Brian, you wanted to talk to us a little bit on gun control.
Yes, sir, and thank you for having the show, and thank you for taking my call. I have what I consider to be a viable solution to gun control. Rather than eliminating a whole class of weapons, is to the background checking. Now, I know that HIPAA rules prohibit healthcare providers from releasing certain information, but if a person has a mental illness, I think that it would be appropriate for them to contact, you know, the local authority having jurisdiction. We know how effective the FBI is with their investigations, but I think that if an application was filled out at the store where they're trying to purchase the weapon and the application is held onto by that store operator, and they take down the information and they run it through, and if the application is approved, then fine, the person can buy the weapon. If it's not approved, they have to post a $5,000 fee for running the application. And I think that would deter a lot of people from purchasing these type of weapons that are intent on causing harm to a mass number of folks. And I think it would be a deterrent if it's, and you don't tell them it's going to cost $5,000 to run the application at the time that they're filling it out. You tell them afterwards. And then that way you get the information. And if they decline to pay the fee, then you know that you have somebody that is trying to slip under the radar, and that person needs to be flagged. What do you think?
I think that's a parts of that I like. Brian, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. And thank you for listening to the show and joining in and contributing. And if you'd like to join in and contribute, you can do that also, 222-TALK, 222-8255. So to address Brian's comments, I think some of what he said had a great merit. And I think it would be...
It was well thought out.
It was well thought out. And I think that it would be a great... I think it would be easy to police if you wanted to have a database of individuals that may have had psychological issues, dealing with bipolar disorder,
anger management,
things of that nature. If they put those folks in a database that were accessible only to law enforcement from the medical profession, let's say you sign up and you go get you go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist, and you say, I'm having trouble coping, or I'm having trouble with this issue or that issue. I feel like I'm depressed. I feel like I'm going to blow up and, you know, pop a vein at any moment. And at that point in time, they do a little counseling session, a little interview. And then as soon as that person leaves the office, she goes online and says, you know, this person came to me with discussions about depression and anger management and grading. Now, you got to contain that a little bit. If somebody comes in and says, you know what, my wife just, she pushed my last button today, got me on my last nerve, and I just needed to come in and talk to someone and be able to get some coping skills handling.
Which is entirely different than someone coming in saying, I really just want to go out and shoot somebody.
Right. Exactly. I just want to take people out. I'm tired of living. My life is in the tank, and I'm going to take some people with me. That should be not only a big red flag, that should be a guy standing out on the highway like the pizza guys do, spinning the flag back and forth, raising it up and down, saying, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me. But when we start, we need to start in a way that has folks, you know, not taking little bites out of our constitutional rights. I don't want to develop a database of it. We already have no-fly list in this country.
Which we know is inaccurate.
Well, it's not accurate, and it's not useful, and there are people that have similar names that are, you know, farmers in South Dakota, and all of a sudden they can't fly because someone with a name similar to theirs, you know, is on a terrorist watch list.
Exactly.
You know, and then on top of that, why do we have so many people in our country that the FBI has said, yeah, you know, well, you know what, he was on our radar, dude. If he's on your radar, he needs to be in your jail.
What about that kid down there in South Florida? I mean, there were so many incidents.
It's 39.
Hard to believe.
Interactions with the police.
It's more than that. Now they found some other. They found some other calls for service to that address where his name
was. It's not like he was talking
mentioned.
To his psychiatrist
and
they were keeping it quiet. I mean, the thing is, this was all public knowledge, right?
Well, this,
it should
exactly.
have been public record.
And the sheriff came forward, Sheriff Israel, and he said, you know, there weren't 39 calls for service. There was 23. And you just want to go, what?
What difference does it make? There was more than two.
Whoa. What are you channeling your inner Hillary? What difference does it make? No. That made her quiet.
The difference between 23 and 39.
Did you see the face I just got?
I think you got the hairy eyeball.
I did. I think I did. Anyway, 3 calls, 5 calls, 10 calls. You know, at some point in time, you get 5 calls from the same address about a kid that's out of control. Or that's like in the case of the one call they got, he pointed a gun at his neighbor's head. Right there, boom, do not pass go. Do not collect $200, straight to jail.
Common sense is uncommon, and we have a huge lack of it.
Well, and you know, I can actually sympathize with a lot of the sheriff's departments around the country. They're undermanned, they're understaffed, and in certain cases, some of the officers are apathetic. And apathy, I run the risk of offending a lot of my really, really good friends that are here on JSO. But apathy starts with not busting the guy that cuts through a gas station to avoid the red light because you don't want to write the ticket out.
Exactly.
You know, apathy starts with not busting the guy with a taillight out, or at least stopping him and making a contact with him, because you're scheduled to meet another officer on checkoff, which they don't do checkoff that much anymore. But what I'm saying is we have so many officers in the department that are so overworked for real priority calls that they, you know, they just throw up their hands and say, you know what, let me just get through this shift. You know, if I can get this through this shift, we'll do good.
Now, that's really sad.
It is sad, and they need some help. They truly do need some help. If we can spend $43 million on big TVs, we can spend a few more million dollars a year on increased officers in Duval County. You know,
now, why is it that we always give a lot of lip service to we need to take care of our police and fire and we need to reward them appropriately? But when it comes time to open your checkbook for that tax increase or that one-time surcharge, it's not going to happen.
Because it depends on where in the election cycle that actionable item falls. If you're not in approaching re-election, then police and fire is not that important to you until such time as you want to catch the police and fire union's vote. Then they become very important to you, and you're willing to say anything as long as you can get the vote and the endorsement. And so that being said, there's a lot of lip service that's paid by politicians all around for all aspects of hiring and firing and spending money and tax increases and various different programs that really only get any attention paid to them when election time is close. Why are you texting and beeping in the phone? That picks up on the microphone like crazy. Anyway, the idea is tell anybody what you think they want to hear in order to be able to capture their vote for any given block or any given office that you seek. And so you'll hear a lot of these guys that are up for re-election on the Democratic side of the ticket, talking about how we tried to pass gun control. We tried to ban AR-15s in Florida, but all the Republicans in the Senate voted us down. And when election time comes up, that's going to appear in every mailer. That's going to appear in every TV ad. But then when those Democrats get elected, they understand that they're part of a big lobby, too. They get money from the gun advocates. They're not, you know, they're not singing in the choir by any stroke of the imagination. My personal belief is that we have our priorities messed up here. We talk about crime. We talk about buying these great programs like ShotSpotter. We talk about, which we've instituted in certain areas of Duval County, especially like in the Springfield area and areas around Dinsmore or Moncrief.
Right.
But that's a computer program with microphones that tell you where the shot's coming from so maybe an officer can get there faster. What we need to do is be proactive instead of reactive. Instead of reacting to a shot that's fired, let's be proactive to find out who's doing the shooting and get them off the street ahead of time. How many times do we see a report of someone who is arrested, who has multiple charges, and yet he's just picked up in the neighborhood that he grew up in? You know, if he was hanging out in the neighborhood where he grew up in, it seems like he'd be pretty easy to find. Just my thinking. If they had officers, extra officers, more officers, I wouldn't be opposed
increased
right now.
Increased presence.
Exactly. Increased presence. Right now, if somebody said, do you want, you know, something new down at Alltel Stadium or Everbank Field or whatever it happens to be named after this week, if somebody said, if you want this new thing down there or you want twice as many police officers out on the street, I certainly would go for the twice as many police officers on the street.
Absolutely.
It's got a time. We've got to get to a point in time where this silliness stops. 17-year-old kids who are out sitting in their driveway at 11 o'clock at night, and they're part of a drive-by shooting. That's crazy. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay. Phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. We'll be right back.
Hey, hey, hey! Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey!
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville, and welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. We're going to go to the phones now and conduct a great interview from a guy I haven't gotten a chance to talk with since he got elected. And I'm very proud to say he was in the studio here, and we really had a great conversation with Sheriff Daryl Daniels from Clay County. How are you doing, Sheriff? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
You know what? I'm looking forward to that opportunity where I can meet you again. I want to get a picture with the most popular sheriff in all of North Florida, and I can guarantee you this. You will never have your morning coffee in my living room. And anyone that's seen your commercials has got to just take that to the bank. What a wonderful, wonderful idea. You know, sheriffs just don't do that kind of stuff anymore, and I think it's great. I get a kick out of it every time I see it. How is that? You'll be seeing it soon. Yeah, well, you know what? I'm looking forward to it. You're doing a bang-up job in Clay County. Everybody's talking about the sheriff that's on Facebook and Instagram and all forms of social media, having his morning coffee, taking pictures of perpetrators sitting out on the stoop there.
On the curb.
Yeah, on the curb. Not even on the cushy little seats of a patrol car. You're doing a wonderful, wonderful job. How are you seeing the figures drop? How are things going? Are you happy with what's going on?
I tell you, I can never be too happy, but because unless all of crime is going out of Clay County and out of Northeast Florida, I'll never feel like I've basically arrived. So we're always plugging at it. The numbers are going down. The crime numbers are going down. Things are looking good, but again, it's a never-ending battle. It's like playing whack-a-mole. You remember whack-a-mole?
Yep.
You hit one, and something else pops up over here. You think you're making some leeway over here, and then another side of town, something else crops up. So it's a never-ending cycle of whack-a-mole, criminal whack-a-mole.
Let me tell you, I have a person who lives in your county, and I spoke to him right after you got elected. I'm listening. Holly must be at her desk because she's saying, "Oh, I'm loving the show tonight. I'm loving Daryl Daniels." So, the guy that I spoke to, I said, "How are you feeling about the new sheriff and this new this new, you know, cowboy hat wearing, drinking his coffee, and then, well, he's like, I don't know what to do about that. That just doesn't seem right. I went back to that same guy 2 months later after you were really making a dent in crime. I said, what are you thinking about him now? And he said, I'm thinking I'm loving our new sheriff. And that's exactly what he said. So
I tell you, you know, let me tell you something. Back long, you know, probably before our time, sheriffs in the West used to be just one man wrecking crew. And they always had their hat on. They always had their boots on. And they rarely had a deputy. It was normally just the one guy by himself.
Yep.
And when he needed a little bit of help, he'd just go deputize somebody. Of course, we live in different times. There's no way in the world I could fight crime in Clay County alone. So I need the men and women of the Clay County Sheriff's Office, as do the other 67 folks in the same position that I am in Florida. We can't do it by ourselves. And what I found in law enforcement is, law enforcement can't do it by ourselves. It's just not enough of us. And the numbers are so different. There's more of the community than there are law enforcement officers, and it takes the input and partnership of the community with law enforcement to get the job done. It really does take a whole village not to do more. It does do more to raise a kid. It takes a whole village to keep each other safe.
Now, do you find that the sprawling aspect of Clay County, you've got an entire diorama of city and then country and some dirt roads and some paved roads and some interstate. How does that differ considerably from Duval County with respect to how you approach sheriffing in Clay?
I tell you, it does. And so recently we had to make some purchases of four-wheel drive pickup trucks for that very thing. We have the urban setting, but there's so much rural area in Clay County that would bog down your regular vehicle, that we have to think about the areas that we're going into and be able to deal with that different terrain. The folks are even different, you know, from the, and I'll use some of the areas. So the folks in Fleming Island, if you will, don't behave the same as the folks in Keystone. Although we all love Clay County, it's a whole different dynamic in each one of those areas. And each one brings their own little flavor to Clay County. It is like, it's like seasoned salt.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many ingredients in there, but together everything complements each other. And it's what makes Clay County, Clay County. And what my challenge is to me to get around personally and touch each of these areas. So I have to get down to Keystone Heights. I have to get over to Clay Hill. I have to get to Middleburg. I have to get to Orange Park, Green Cove Springs, Penny Farm, so on and so forth. Because what's happening these days is people are going, hey, well, I want to see the sheriff. Mm-hmm. I want to see that guy,
right.
who's doing these things. And, you know, all of that I do is really to bring awareness to what we have in Clay County. We have a real good thing in Clay County, and I want to keep it that way. And, you know, there's a couple of generations of my family, me, my kid, my grandkid, who are in Clay County. And I want my folks safe, and I want the folks who live there safe.
Let me ask you this. You talked at the beginning of the interview about the whack-a-mole aspect. I know folks I get a chance to sit and talk with city council members here in Jacksonville. Some of them call me during the week, you know, and just, you know, they want to, you know, get it off their chest. They're seeing what you're doing in Clay County, and like whack-a-mole, when you start clamping down on crime there, it's coming back across the line into Duval. So is there a teaming up between you and Mike Williams, maybe on hitting both sides of the line real quick?
Yes, absolutely. So in a recent meeting that I had with my folks, the question was, because we have the Cops Without Borders initiative, which gives Clay County and Duval County the ability to go cross jurisdictional lines and do police work. So I said, what are we doing to enhance, and it was just a fair question to one of my command members. I said, what are we doing to enhance the Cops Without Borders initiative? And so he said, well, you know, there are high-level meetings that are going on. I'm like, well, it doesn't get any higher than me and Mike Williams meeting, and we meet frequently because he and I came out of the same police academy class. Don't know if many people are aware of that. So we both had the same start date, came through our careers together, And I'd venture to say that there aren't too many sheriffs whose jurisdictions butt up to each other who came out of the same academy class. So he and I have a great relationship, and we conversate quite often. And basically what he tells me is, my house is your house, and I do the same. I say the same. So the resources that he has at his disposal, I give him that much access to the resources that I have at my disposal. But what I'm wanting to see is, at a patrol, in a patrol level, down at that level, the granular level of law enforcement, what I'm wanting to see is some collaboration right there at what I call the skirmish line of Duval County and Clay County, where they meet right there along the Wells Road corridor, 295 corridor, like from 17 all the way over to Blandon. You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
And all the way up into Argyle, which is, the Argyle is on one side and Oakleaf is on the other side. So we have a lot going on right there along those corridors, and it's a lot of back and forth. And so what we're seeing is, we see spillover that comes over in the form of crimes against property, spilling over from Jacksonville. And then what they see on their side, when we step it up on our end, it spills back into Duval County. So we try to kind of push it. And what I tell Mike Williams is, how about I push it towards you? Of course, I'm not going to say push it towards me. I push it towards you. You keep pushing, and we push it towards Bill Leeper. So we just push it from, we push it from Clay County to Duval County to Nassau County, and we push it all the way out to Georgia and hold the line at the state line. So that's the
Love
ultimate
it.
Goal, is to push it as far out as we can and make Northeast Florida that sweet spot in Florida, where people want to come and raise their families and establish their businesses and just make this the area that folks want to come to.
I can guarantee that we'll be getting a call next week from Bill Leeper saying, when can I be on the show? Because I got a little pushback for Clay County.
Yeah, don't be pushing that mess my way. That's what he'll be saying.
You know, we got just a minute left. I don't want you to break any secrets, but can you tell us that the kids are secure in Clay County?
The kids are secure in Clay County. I tell you, the most disturbing thing to me with all that's been going on is the fact that you got the students at the school who think it's cute to make these little threatening type posts. And I think they're just kind of getting a kick out of it, but that's a criminal offense.
Right.
It's a felony.
Right.
And we have two more in the hopper.
Wow.
Two kids that are going to be getting arrested within the next 3 or 4 days. We pulled the FBI in to this, and the state attorney is committed to the prosecution part of it. So these two kids are going to get arrested.
Well, there you go. Sheriff Daryl Daniels is going to be drinking coffee in some young kid's living room here in the next little while, who thought it was cute to make some threats against the school kids. Sheriff Daniels, I look forward to an opportunity, if we can get in touch with your PIO and get you into the studio here in the next few weeks. I want to thank you for being on with us in the show now.
Take care.
Sir, thank you.
Thank you very much. And what a great, great, great guy. He was great when he was in the studio. Wonderful individual. I'm glad to have him down there in Clay County. This is I'm Speaking Plainly. We'll be right back.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
You guys are amazing. You really are. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. I get people that are just blowing up the line, the email here. Call the phone, folks. I won't bite. I promise. I won't make fun of you on the air. No, whether you call me or you text me or you email me or whatever, we love you all the same. But the phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. Marcy said she just loves living in Clay County with Daryl Daniels as sheriff.
Absolutely.
And Marcy, you know, I can understand why. I get, you know, I keep harping on this, but the commercial or the Facebook thing that he does about having his morning coffee in this guy's living room because the kids are all out on the stoop getting ready to go to the Gray Bar, you know?
Well,
he warned
his,
them.
His style really fits Clay County, though.
Well,
he really fits
it does, and it's fabulous.
Perfectly.
When he's out in the community, he typically, if he does a public event or a chamber event or whatever, he'll bring four or five of his unit chiefs along, and they are totally approachable, will answer any questions, They're not on a set time limit. They don't roll their eyes if you ask a stupid question or what could be perceived as a stupid question. They're just totally approachable.
He seems to really care about his county.
It's genuine.
I think it's a genuine care. And not to say that Mike Williams doesn't care about Duval.
Mike Williams is an excellent
He's a fantastic guy. He's been in the studio many, many times. I'm proud to say that I'm on a polite and cordial first name basis with him. You can tell that the two of them came along at about the same time. The problem that Mike has is he has a lot of groups that if he were to do that in Duval County, he'd be labeled as a racist.
He'd never hear the end of it.
Yeah, right. He'd be labeled as targeting one particular demographic of people, one particular race of people, like they did when a lot of young men were getting arrested out in the Springfield Northwest Quadrant. Well, you know what? If they're getting arrested 9 times out of 10, it's because they're doing something wrong.
Exactly.
You know, I really don't know of a single JSO officer that gets up in the morning and says, the only guys I'm going to arrest today are black guys.
Or innocent people,
yeah. Or I'm going to go out of my way to ruin somebody's life today and tie them up in court and make them spend some legal fees. I just don't know of an officer that really wants that. I think most of them get up in the morning and they think, I hope I get to come home today.
That's exactly right. I mean, the law enforcement has become a tough profession.
You're absolutely right.
Especially in today's atmosphere.
You want to arrest someone, and then you've got to worry about whether you did it right. Did you manhandle them too much? Did you read them their rights? Did you actually see them do what you thought you saw? I mean, you're second-guessing yourself all the time, and it really shouldn't be that way. But then children need to understand that when you're having an interaction with a police officer, that's not the opportunity for you to be an activist. That's not the opportunity for you to pick up your cell phone and start videoing him while he's trying to give you a ticket for speeding, or while he's trying to find out whether or not you're driving while intoxicated. You don't fight the battle there on the side of the road. Follow the officer's instructions. Put your hands on the wheel, put your hands in the air, get down on the ground, do whatever you need to do at that particular point in time.
But we're not raising our children nowadays to have respect for law enforcement like they did when we were kids.
No, absolutely. We're raising them to be activists. We're raising them to find out what the man is doing to keep you and your race down.
And I dare say there are some people that have told their children, some parents, that police are the enemy.
I mean, exactly.
And that's when a kid comes from that background, it's tough. It's really tough for them.
30 years ago,
they're sassing police officers.
To protect and serve really was what law enforcement was all about. Nowadays, it's more like protect and CYA, because somebody's got their cell phone out, their smartphone, videotaping the whole encounter.
Yeah.
And will spin it any way they want for their 10 minutes
of
fame.
That's one of the problems that we have with everyone having their own little television production studio generally in their pocket or their purse, and that is their cell phone.
It's almost comical, really.
Right.
I mean, that's why I'm kind of chuckling about this, because everything's instant news now.
Right.
And then a lot of the millennials get most of their news, I think, from social media.
Instagram, Twitter, you know, Facebook. And the thing that I hearken back to is the young lady that was not even a resident of the complex, who crashed a pool party that the pool had been reserved, and all of a sudden 200 kids show up for an unannounced pool party. There's a fight, and the sheriff's officer shows up and he tries to take this girl into custody who had been there and causing trouble. And 25 cell phones came out and all show him taking this girl to the ground because she wouldn't cuff up. Well, the only part you saw in the news was him throwing this girl to the ground. They didn't show the 23 times that he told her to stop and put her hands behind her back. 23 times. You only saw the part where he got tired, and the 24th time wasn't going to be good enough. He put her on the ground and cuffed her up. You know, when a police officer tells you to stop, turn around, put your hands on his car, or whatever he tells you to do, that's not the time. Right. That's not the time to have a discussion.
Well, they've got to edit it down for news and the time, right? But we know that the media in this town is pretty fair, I'd say. Wouldn't you say better than the
better
national
than some.
Media?
Yeah, better. Oh, absolutely. I better mean, because, than national media.
Because they live here, and they've got they go into stores.
They have skin
Tom
in the
Wills
game.
Is in a store. I mean, you see, it's different than radio.
Right.
We're not generally recognized. But, you know.
Somehow or another, people have picked me out because of my voice. I literally have had
it does
a
happen
guy.
Occasionally, right.
I got a, must have a squeaky little voice. Your voice would be easy to pick out if you were standing at a counter
happened,
somewhere at Walmart.
Maybe yeah. a handful of times, right. maybe in the last 10 years.
But you're absolutely right. For the most part, our local media is fair and balanced. But I also see that our over the years since I was a kid watching George Winterly and even Tom Wills when he was very much younger.
He was a reporter. I remember Bill Grove was the man.
Exactly. When you started watching them, news was real news. It was local, state, and national news. Then it was weather. Then it was sports. Then it was feel-good interest stories. Now, consultants have gotten involved, national consultants, and they say everything, you've got to get breaking news. Even if it's, I fell on my bicycle two blocks down the road, it's breaking news that the kid fell off his bike so that you can capture that audience and hold
ratings.
Them over for ratings and also hold them over for right. a couple of commercial cycles so that you can get them to buy those new Tide Pods or this new, you know, supermarket's opening in town and we want you to come and use your coupons there. News is now, and if you ask anyone, and I have a lot of interaction with some of the local news people, they will tell you that news is fluff. Because for the most part, people get their news now from their computers and from their cell phones. They just don't sit down at 6 o'clock every night and watch the news. And we are watching our local news cycles go from 4 to 4:30, 4:30 to 5, 5:30 to 6, 6:30 to 7, on certain channels, and then there's a little national break, and then they do, you know, some reruns of some old network success stories, or if they're network affiliated, they'll do the primetime network shows.
Yeah. I mean, these morning news programs are basically like somewhat the old radio zoo broadcast.
Absolutely.
Because they go on for 3 or 4 hours. These guys are on the air at 4:30 in the morning. They used to do a half an hour of local news, and that was before the Today Show, and that was it.
Right. You got a half an hour in the morning. You may or may not have gotten a lunch show on Channel 4. They did a midday talk show called Midday with
right.
Dick Stratton and Virginia Adderkeys.
And that was about everything. Right?
And it was about everything. It was human interest mostly and feel-good stories and things of that nature. And then you got news at 6, and then you got news at 11. Now you've got news that starts at 4:30 in the morning on Channel 4 and goes until 9 when the morning show goes off. But then they have the extended morning show.
Goes to 10.
That goes till 10. And then you've got a break for about an hour.
My eyes have glazed over.
Right, exactly. If you're not network affiliated, the only thing that you've got are local human interest style programming, lifestyle programming, and then you've got the 24-hour news cycle picks up again late in the afternoon, and you're going to watch now more and more. You're going to find television shows or television stations in these markets like Jacksonville. You're going to find where you have infomercials embedded within the newscast. You will find that they do an exposé on heart disease or the signs of heart disease caused by obesity.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like it's an interview.
Right, and the first person
really
turns.
Sponsored.
It's really supposed
Pharma
to be like an interview.
Has sponsored the whole thing.
You'll find that local doctors will buy a segment because they happen to be a cardiologist. And they'll say, you know, the Jacksonville, I'm just making this name up, the Jacksonville Heart Center, you know, this is Dr. So-and-so, and he's going to tell us a little bit about heart issues in aging males under,
and be
you know,
sure to schedule your appointment
exactly.
with us.
Exactly. So you're going to find infomercials embedded within news. It happens all the time. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. Coming up in this segment, we've got a little bit of an update from Marshall Wood on the Rocky situation. I guess you're going to be stepping away, and we'll see you next week.
Yes, sir.
So for those of you out there listening, Joni's saying bye.
We'll
so
see you
bye
back.
You guys.
Daylight time when you get back.
Exactly.
I love it.
We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.